Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At this juncture in our study of the book of Acts, the narrative swings from Saul of Tarsus to the ministry of Peter. God used Peter to heal a paralyzed man and to raise a woman from the dead. Both miracles had a divine purpose. Many people turned to Jesus. However, the miracles done by God through Peter didn't save them. They were saved primarily by their faith in the gospel that Peter preached. Please open your Bible to Acts chapter 9 and join Pastor Ray Viola as he begins his study of verses 32 through 43.
Acts chapter 9, verse 32 through 43. And it came to pass as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom, when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. And Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon Tanner. And so we move now from the ministry of the Apostle Paul to the ministry of the Apostle Peter. And he is passing throughout all the quarters. In other words, where the disciples that were dispersed and had planted churches, he comes now to an area called Lydda, where there are saints. Now, this morning we're going to be looking at two miracles. The miracle of one man who was paralyzed for 8 years, being healed by God, able to get up and walk. And the miracle of a woman who was dead, raised from the dead. Actually, three miracles. The third one, the greater one, the most miraculous, was people who were saved, unsaved, born again, turning to the Lord, and becoming Christians. That's the greatest miracle of all. That's the greatest miracle of all. When we talk about miracles, it's important to bear in mind that every miracle that we read of in the book of Acts are actually a confirmation of what Jesus said would happen after his departure. He said he would send the Holy Spirit to dwell upon men. Remember in the upper room, in that discourse with the disciples, the apostles, before he would be going to be crucified, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 12, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go my Father. At the end of Mark's gospel, the Lord Jesus said in chapter 16, beginning of verse 15, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is the command. That is the great commission. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. They went forth, noticed, and preached everywhere. Preached what? Preached the gospel. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So the primary commission was to go forth in the world and preach the gospel. And that is the primary mission of the church. While we thank God for the fact that he has done miracles in our lives, while we thank God for the miracles that we have experienced in almost four decades as a church, the greatest miracle is the miracle of the new birth. We need to remember that. That is the greatest miracle. Jesus, speaking of his mission, says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." You see, because you and I, or any of these individuals, these two individuals that we read about today, any miracle that takes place, eventually they die. The most important mission of the church is to preach the gospel, to preach the word of God. God is the one who determines the signs, the wonders, the miracles. He does them. But the primary mission of the church is to preach the gospel, and the primary purpose for every sign and wonder and miracle is to point people to Christ, who is the Messiah, that they may, as we see today, by the grace of God, come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so you may have a physical need today. And if you would like to be prayed for, we will anoint you with oil and we will just commit you into the hands of the Lord. But your greatest need is salvation. That's the greatest need. Remember when the 70 came back and they were saying, "Lord, we are so amazed. Demons are subject unto us in your name." And Jesus says, "In this do not rejoice that demons are subject unto you." And I'm glad that they are and they still are today. Amen. It says, "Rejoice rather that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life." You see, because if you came into this sanctuary this morning or you're watching online, you have in Adam, you have biological life in you, but you do not have eternal life. Everyone is going to live forever somewhere. You're either going to live forever apart from God in hell, or with God in heaven by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so the greatest need that you have, greater than physical healing, greater than all of those other things that you may be praying for, is that you know Christ, that you're born again, because then you have eternal life, Zoe, the God kind of life in you and through you. So that's basically what we're going to see is the focus, not only in what we're covering today, but what we will be covering throughout the entire book of Acts. Now, there are those who believe that the only ones who did miracles on earth were, after Christ ascended, were the apostles. Well, that's not true. In Acts chapter 6, verse 7, and in Acts chapter 9, verses 17 and 18, Philip, one of the seven, was used to perform miracles. In Acts chapter 9, it was Ananias who laid hands, just a common brother who laid hands on the would-be apostle Paul to heal him of his blindness. When we read Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia, we find in chapter 3, verse 5, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you," he's not there. Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And so there is no doubt that there were miracles being done. Many miracles being done. But here in Paul's letters to the churches in Galatia, there's no record given as to who God used to perform the miracles. He's just stating a fact. They were taking place. God still does miraculous things today. But he determines when they take place, where they take place, whom he chooses to use, through whom they take place. And we see that consistent all the way through the New Testament. And so Peter now comes to this area of Lydda, a small village west of Jerusalem, on the way to Joppa. Of course, Joppa is the place where Jonah went to flee from the Lord. Jonah thought he was going to flee from the Lord. How many of you know, if you are one of the Lord's, you may flee, but you can't hide? Amen. He will create a great whale to swallow you up and bring you where you need to be today. That's how much he loves you. And you can't hide from his presence. You can't hide. You may not want to be in his presence if you're not living the way you ought to live, but you can't hide from his presence, for in him we live and move. We have our being. So we find the word saints here. Now, when you hear the word saints, what do you think of? Well, don't tell me. The word saints is a biblical word. It doesn't describe a person who is sinless or a church that is perfect. A saint, by definition in the scripture, is a person who has repented of their sin and has come to the saving faith of God by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus alone. One of the words that can be used to describe a saint is someone who is holy. Now, when you think of holy, what do you think? Holy just means separated. We have been called out, ecclesia, the church, called out from the world into the kingdom of his dear son, called out to be different, called out to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be holy. So I'm giving you a heads up that if I ever see you in public and I know your name, I am going to call you Saint Ron. Yes, many, many times. Wegmans aisle 5. Saint Ron! And immediately, the people in the aisle are looking around, going, they're looking for a halo, or they're looking for something, or you know, they get on the walkie-talkie. Security, security, we've got a Looney Tune over here. He's calling people saints. And that's because they just don't understand what the word saint means. You see, it's unfortunate that Roman Catholicism wants you and I to teach that there's a few people that are saints and then there's the rest of us. No, if you are born again by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, you are a saint. Yes. How do we know? Peter went to meet saints who were on earth. So you're a saint. And if you say, no, I'm not, well, then you need to become one. And so he comes to Lydda, finds the saints, and there's a certain man named Aeneas that had been paralyzed for 8 years, and Peter says to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ, or Yeshua the Messiah, maketh you whole." Or it reads like this, "Jesus Christ is making you whole. Arise and make thy bed." And he arose immediately. I want you to know that Aeneas did not need to claim his healing and act like he could get off the mat. He got up. He arose. He was really healed. When Peter and John went up to the temple in Acts chapter 3, they were going up to the temple for what? They were going up to the temple for the hour of prayer. And on the way there, there is this lame man at the gate. And this lame man had been crippled for 40 years. And he's asking for money from them. And we read in Acts 3:6, Peter said, that is to the lame man at the gate, beautiful, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I want you to take note that Peter clearly identifies that is Jesus Christ who is doing the healing. He is simply the instrument in whom and through whom the miracle is taking place. And may I suggest to you that these two men, the apostles, are on their way to a prayer meeting. They meet this man that is lame for 40 years, and the Spirit of God quickens them with a word of knowledge or a revelation to pray for this man in the name of Jesus. A word of knowledge or whatever. They're just performing this miracle as they are in the process of walking with the Lord, going to a prayer meeting. In verse 16 of chapter 3, we read, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. They asked him, how did you do this? He didn't say, well, haven't you seen my website? He says, it's his name, Jesus, through faith in his name, has made this man strong and given him perfect soundness. In Acts chapter 4, beginning of verse 8, Peter and John are now brought before that august group known as the Sanhedrin. And there's trouble brewing because in their theology, Christ is a counterfeit and these men are counterfeits. But they can't deny that a miracle took place. And so Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, Acts 4:8, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Now listen as he describes why the miracle took place. It was a platform, what? To preach the gospel. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. So he's quoting from Isaiah chapter 28, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Notice again that the purpose of the miracle of this healing of the lame man and every miracle was to provide a platform for preaching the gospel. And let me say this again, because you can be healed, you can be delivered, but unless you and I are the people on earth when the Lord returns, you're going to die. Eventually, you're going to die. Your greatest need is eternal life. That's your greatest need. And the purpose of any miracle done then and any miracle done now, when it comes from God, is to bear witness of the testimony of Jesus Christ and to give him glory and to give an opportunity to share the gospel with people who are lost. Jesus Christ makes you whole. And the man arose immediately, and he began to walk around. Interesting. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him, and turn to the Lord. Now, verse 35 does not suggest that the entire population of Lydda and Saron turned to the Lord. The grammar suggests that all those who previously had contact with him before and after his healing. So individuals that knew this man, they knew that he was paralyzed. They knew that he couldn't walk. And so now they run into them, or he runs into them. And they go, Aeneas, what happened? How are you walking? Who did this? And that would give him an opportunity to preach the gospel, and through the sign and the wonder and the testimony, people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They turned to the Lord. You'll see that. If you carefully read through the scriptures, once again, we see that the miracle of healing was a sign that was designed by God to bring many to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. John the Apostle wrote the Gospel of John. There were many miracles that were recorded, many that were unrecorded. But John 20, verse 30 and 31 says this, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written. Notice why. These are written, why, beloved? That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. That was the purpose of every miracle that took place. It provided a platform for the preaching of the gospel, for the teaching of the word of God. It was never intended to be some sideshow that took place. You realize that as you're reading through the book of Acts, you read the miracles of Christ as Jesus is going about ministering to the multitudes, or the Acts in the book of Acts, ministering to the multitudes in the way of ministering, in the way of sharing, in the way of doing the work of the Lord, preaching the work of the Lord. There would be individuals whom God would bring into the lives of the apostles, and he would give them a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, a working of miracles, a gift. They would speak to these individuals and they would be healed. But it wasn't the healing that was the issue, that was a sign to bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, among the gifts of the Spirit that are given to the church are the working of miracles and the gifts of healing. So when you request us to pray for you, we anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. And we just commit you and entrust you to the Lord. We do what God tells us to do. But if a miracle takes place, it's God that does it whenever he chooses to do it, through whomever he chooses to use. You see, there's a lot of mystery. There's a lot of things that we don't understand within the realm of God's absolute infinite sovereignty. Paul the Apostle had been used by God to do miracles of healing. He gets a thorn in the flesh, he prays for it, and it doesn't go away. He has a colleague by the name of Trophimus. He says, Trophimus, I have left at Miletus sick. And so while there are many things that we don't understand, this much we do know. We have to walk in the light that we have. And we pray and we trust God and we believe in prayer and in anointing with oil. But ultimately, God is the one who does the healing. Amen. God is the one that does it. Bless the Lord,
oh my soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Sila, a daily study in the scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward, moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.